Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
It was called that because of all the mimosa trees in the area, but to get there, we went off-road, and I think I even had to put it in four-wheel drive some. I had a Nissan Pathfinder, and that was nice. Man, that glare going on, he brought it back up, so never mind. Anyway, we got on so many weird routes going there that, anyway, I was really happy to have this guy with me because we made it to the church. We were going in such weird directions down little dirt paths, that I thought, he's just guessing. We're out in the middle of nowhere, and he ended up getting to this bush church, and we had a time. But anyway, we need a guide in life. That's my point. The Holy Spirit lives inside us to guide us, and this would be a great confession for us to make, and I want you to just repeat this with me. Holy Spirit, you live inside me to guide me. And he does. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20 says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." These verses tell us the Holy Spirit lives in us for a purpose. He says, "I will put a new spirit within them." And he does this. There's a couple of things here that he says. For one, to remove insensitivity. We need to be sensitive to him, don't we? And so he says, "I'll take the stony heart out," or that insensitivity out of them. And then he enables us to become more sensitive to him and give them a heart of flesh. So the Holy Spirit lives in us because he has a job to do. He's there to teach us. He's there to comfort us. He's there to strengthen us and to lead us into God's plan for our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God..." So just take a moment there, because I have oftentimes in the yesteryears used verse 9 by itself. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, the things haven't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them who love him. In other words, God has things for us that are just beyond our understanding. But it doesn't end with that. Now listen, because this is so important, because he says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." So the Holy Spirit, the things that are mysteries, the revelation of God, God reveals them through his Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world," thank God. Everybody say, "Thank you, Jesus." "But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." That's an awesome portion of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is there to reveal the deep things of God to us. God never intended us to just do the best we can in the Christian life. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to guide us. Romans 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We are led by God, by the Spirit of God. You notice it doesn't say we're driven by the Spirit, or we are pushed by the Spirit. We're pulled by the Spirit, but we are led. Any parent here knows there are times when you were with your kids where you had to drive them or pull them or push them. Or, you know, that's part of parenting that we had to, because I don't know, maybe your kids weren't like mine, but I had to pull my, if I was going to take my kids to the dentist, I'd have to pull them. And so that would happen. But, and so people have said, you know, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And I don't know so much about the terminology there, because it's kind of human terms. He is gentle. I don't know that he's a gentle man. I kind of take exception to that. He's a gentle Holy Spirit. He is gentle. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't force us. He doesn't pull us, but he gently leads. And so we have to cultivate a hearing ear if we're going to be led. And so I want to talk for a little bit tonight about hindrances we have in hearing from God. And one of the greatest hindrances that we have in hearing from the Lord is fear. We talked about this in the opening lesson of the series, that sometimes we may be actually afraid to hear from him. And we can think, you know, well, what if he asked me to do something I don't want to do? Can I tell you something from experience that you already know? Sometimes he will ask us to do things that we don't want to do. It's not that because he just gets a kick out of, you know, I'm gonna make them do this because they're going to hate it. Oh, they're going to hate it. But see, a lot of people think this about God, that he, you know, he gets off on just harassing us, making us do things that we don't want to do. If God calls us to do something, it's for our benefit and for the benefit of others. Amen. We need to trust that about him. And so Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, this is classic, talking about Adam and Eve. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" That's great, isn't it? Where are you? He knew, but he wanted response, just like he does from us. So he, Adam, said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." The first obstacle that man had in hearing from God was fear. Before this, Adam and Eve had had perfect fellowship with God. They had that perfect relationship with him, and something else entered the garden along with sin, and that was fear. Fear reveals an absence or lack of faith and trust. All of us need to believe certain things about God. It is so critical. If we're going to receive from him, if we're going to hear from him, we have to believe some things about God. And maybe most importantly is that he loves us. And out of that love, he has our best interest in mind. We really need to believe that so that we will have a hearing ear. Not only that, but he's good. We need to believe God's good. You know, there are a lot of born-again believers that, you know, they'll say, you know, "Oh, yeah, God's good." And they may even go through the whole thing. You know, "God is good all the time. God is good. You know, God is good all the time." And go and say it, but in the recesses of their mind or heart, they may really kind of wonder, is God really that good? We need to believe that he loves us, has our best interests in mind, and if you have a pen, you might just jot out to the side there that he's good. Knowing this will help us be responsive to his voice. He is completely accepting of us. Thank God. Even when we've failed. Adam and Eve hid because of the fear that their sin produced, but God came into the garden looking for them. You know why you're here tonight? Because God looked for you. God looked for us. He drew us. No one comes, Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. The reason why we came to him is because he drew us. God was looking for them. And even when we have failed, God wants to speak to us. Listen, especially when we failed, God wants to speak to us. And it's not just to make us feel bad. It's to bring us to a place of forgiveness and repentance. He always takes the initiative to restore fellowship with us. He always does. And this is the reason why we're here tonight, because he did that. He took the initiative. Our understanding of the love and the nature of God will help us overcome the fear of what he may speak to us. You don't have to be afraid of what God will speak to you. I don't have to be afraid of what God will speak to me, because he's got our best interests in mind and the interest of others. Can you say, I believe that? It's key. 1 John 4, verse 18 and 19 says, there is no fear in love. See, if we know that God loves us, it drives out fear. Perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or complete in love. We love him because he first loved us. All right, the second hindrance in hearing from God is selective hearing. Sometimes we are selective of what we hear from the Lord. And again, going back to the whole parent thing, when my kids were younger, they had selective hearing, I'm telling you. If I told them to clean up their room, and then a half hour later they hadn't cleaned up the room, I said, why haven't you cleaned your room? I didn't know you wanted me to. They selective, you know, take out the garbage. I didn't know you want me to take out the garbage. I told you 15 minutes ago. Why? And so they could. There were certain things that they didn't really hear that well. But if I told them we're going to Knott's Berry Farm, you know, they're keyed. I mean, they had it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 gives us a tremendous promise. And listen, if we will acknowledge God in all of our ways, then in all of our ways, he will direct our paths. That's pretty good, isn't it? And so you say, well, how do I acknowledge God? We acknowledge God the same way we acknowledge each other. We recognize each other. Like tonight, I was standing outside, and as you came in, I greeted most of you. If I saw you come in, I did. And said, hello, how you doing? You know, shook your hand or something. And so that I was acknowledging you. You acknowledged me. We acknowledge each other. We recognize, call attention to each other. And so we can do this with the Lord. It's like this. Lord, what do you think about me buying this house? Things like that, major purchases. How do you feel about me changing jobs? How should I deal with this problem in my family? Or things like that. We are given a promise if in all of our ways and not selectively we will acknowledge him, he will give us direction. That's a good promise, isn't it? The third and major hindrance in hearing from God is disobedience. Sometimes the reason we have a hard time hearing from God is our ears have grown dull. This is what Hebrews talks about. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. What causes us to become dull of hearing to God's voice over anything else is not doing something when God speaks to us. In other words, disobedience. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no widespread revelation. Now, this is in the first part of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel follows the book of Judges, and if you go through the book of Judges, I've read through it a number of times, and it's really kind of frustrating if you read through Judges, because here God's people would be doing good, you know, they're serving God, and then they backslide, and then bad stuff would happen. And then they cry out to God, "God, help us," and God would send them a judge, a deliverer. And it was a repeating theme over and over again. And because Israel continued in disobedience to God's word, that word became rare. You know, even as I say that, it makes me cringe inside. God help me from ever having the word of God to become rare, where I have kind of just closed off from being able to hear from God. God help us as his people to not become dull of hearing, and to become so deaf to his voice that his word becomes rare. Doesn't that just kind of make you feel, we don't want that, right? In James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, it gives us a solution for this. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so all of us need to say this: let it be to me, Lord. In the remainder of this lesson, we're going to look at a couple of things that we can learn to help us become more sensitive to God's voice, to hear him more clearly. One of the most important qualities, and this seems almost very elementary, but it is critical in our being able to hear from him, is just simply having a willingness to hear. Now say this with me tonight: I can hear from God, and I really want to. Okay, I believe you. Matthew 13, 15 and 16, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, and that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." God bless our ears tonight. Amen. God bless our eyes to see. God bless our ears to hear. Now, Jesus saying this explains one of the principles of hearing or not hearing. And he says we need to have ears to hear. Matthew 11, verse 15, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Jesus repeated this statement some 8 times through the gospel. And if we are going to hear from God, we need to want to hear from him. A hearing ear comes through a sincere and honest desire, and that is, "God, I really need to hear your voice. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your encouragement. I need your strength. Lord, I need you to speak to me. I want God to speak to me. You want God to speak to you. That sincere and honest desire draws us into a place to where we have a hearing ear. Amen. We need to cultivate a hunger to hear God's voice. So we need a willingness. Then, to hear God's voice better, we need to pay attention. God will speak to us in direct proportion to our attentiveness. And I think it's sometimes, you know, I think God sometimes is almost like that old Verizon commercial with a guy, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? I think God sometimes is wondering and asking us, can you hear me now? Because he is speaking, right? In Mark chapter 4, verse 22 through 25, Jesus said, now listen carefully to this. I'm actually going to read it through a couple of times, but I'm going to read it first here. For there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. See, what that is our willingness to be able to hear. Now, this portion of Scripture, I was reading this a while ago and noticed something that's really interesting. In verse 22, Jesus says, for there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. And that one verse, if it's taken just by itself again, we can look at it and say, well, God's going to expose sin. You know, anything that we've got that we're trying to hide, it's going to come out. And the reality is we can't hide anything from God, right? Adam and Eve found this out. You know, they sewed fig leaves together, you know. And it didn't fool God at all, right? So there is truth in that we can't hide anything from God. But this verse here in this portion, as he's speaking about it, is not in reference so much to exposing sin. Now listen to it again. He says, for there is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. See, he is talking about truth and revelation coming to light. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. To him who has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, in other words, those who close their ears, even what he has will be taken away. If we are attentive to God's voice, his truth will become revealed to us. There is nothing hidden which shall not be revealed. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. God wants to give us revelation. He wants to bring truths to light in us. And if we're going to hear from him more often, we need to pay attention. Have you ever... No, I'm not going to ask this. We all have been talking to people at times where you knew they weren't paying attention. Amen. Say, huh? Exactly. See, and it's just one of those things with relationships, husbands and wives. Sometimes, you know, I think men probably, never mind. I'm not going to beat us up tonight. I need to move on. But time's going. Man, I got to cover some notes here. God will speak to us in direct proportion to our attentiveness. Mark chapter 4, verse 33. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. And so, you know, I know that sometimes the reason I haven't heard from God is I just simply wasn't paying attention. Because God is speaking. He does speak. He speaks in a number of ways to us. And if we will be attentive, he will talk. I'm going to read Hebrews 5 and just verse 11 again. He says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. And Paul is saying they weren't able to receive much truth here. He had so much more they wanted to teach them, but he said they were dull of hearing. So we're going to look a little bit at how to pay better attention. We need to be able to hear God's still, small voice. Now, as I say that, have you ever wondered if God's voice was so still and so small that you just didn't hear it? It's just still and small, and so, yeah, it's still and small, and I'm just not getting it because it's too still and too small. Cindy, my wife, will be talking to me sometimes, and she talks in a conversational voice from the other room, you know, sharing something. A lot of times I say, huh? And sometimes we can be sitting, you know, in close proximity to each other. And she can be talking, and I don't really pick up what she says, and I just kind of nod my head, you know, like, she can tell, she can look into my eyes and tell if I'm getting it, but kind of just nod my head. But I call it, and some of it is a thing with my hearing. I do have some hearing loss. I blame Led Zeppelin for my, yeah, I call it Led Zeppelin ear syndrome. And Uriah Heep and a number of other things, and Black Sabbath. And so some of these, it was too loud. And so I do have some hearing loss, but then sometimes it's just simply me being a guy and not being attentive. Husbands can be that way. I'm veering back into that, aren't I, guys? So... But I think we can be that way with the Lord. We know he's trying to say something, but we're just not really getting it. And sometimes it's difficult to hear his voice because of all the other noise in our lives. If I am in a restaurant like Cracker Barrel, Cracker Barrel is one of the worst as far as hearing because it's so loud, you know, and all that ambient noise around can make it really tough for me to be able to hear someone. If there's less ambient noise, the better I hear. Sometimes in our lives, the noise that's going on around us hinders us from hearing from God. Problems that we have at work or at home or the bills that have to be paid, the stuff that we have to get done, all of these things, this noise can keep us from hearing from God. And so how can we pay better attention? Listen, we need to practice being still and knowing he is God. This is so critical. Psalm 46, verse 9 through 11 says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Selah means think about it. Think about it. One of the most important lessons we can learn in life is how to quiet the wars going on inside us. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. We need to be able to quiet those internal wars going on inside us. And we need to practice being still and knowing that He is God. When we're troubled, when we're worried, when we're fearful, when we're concerned about things that are going on, it can make us dull of hearing. During those times, you and I need to find a place where we can get alone with God, sit in His presence, and remind ourselves He is God and He is able to have everything under control. Now, I want to pause for a moment there, because sometimes we say, you know, He has everything under control. And it gives the impression that God is controlling everything. And some people believe that, you know, the bad that happens in life, it's because God, you know, we're like puppets on a string, you know, and He doesn't do that. He is ruling. He does reign. He is Lord of all. But, you know, there is a very real devil that, and the Word of God says that this world is under the sway of the evil one. We're in a battle, aren't we? And so everything that happens isn't because of God. God help us. But we need to be still in His presence and know that we can trust Him in the midst of the bad that may be happening, that He is God. He has a plan. He has a purpose for our lives. He will either do one of two things in the midst of difficulty and struggle. He will either get us out of it. I like escaping, don't you? I like quick escapes. I like great escapes. I love being able to go into a problem and then pray and then boom, it just disappears. I love that kind of thing, don't you? And oftentimes, sometimes He does that. He gives us a great escape, or He will give us grace to go through it and get us to the other side. Amen. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay there, we walk through because He helps us, right? And so we need to be able to hear Him to help us get through those times. Oftentimes, my devotional time in the mornings is spent just thanking God for who He is, meditating on His presence, on His promise, on His provision for my life and for those that I'm praying for. And when I do that, you know what happens? Is it quietens my heart. And it calms my nerves. We could use some calming of our nerves, huh? And so we need to be still and know He's God. Someone said, God still speaks to those who take time to listen. And if we will give God the opportunity to speak to us, He will. During those times where we quiet ourselves in His presence, we meditate on Him, we worship Him, we give Him an opportunity to speak to us. And oftentimes it will come in the form of Scripture, a promise from His Word, or thoughts of encouragement. Oftentimes I hear the Lord speak to me, I love you. And I think I mentioned this in the first class. There were times earlier in my relationship with the Lord, I thought, wow, that's just you. You're just thinking that, you know. But it's biblical, amen, right? We ought to be able to hear Him speak His love, His encouragement over our lives. I will be with you always, even to the end. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Those are promises we need to be able to hear from Him. God, help us to hear His voice. And that Word, His love, His encouragement, His strength, His never ceasing to be with us, those promises, God, help us. We should be able to hear that. Hear Him, right? Now tell yourself, I'm going to hear that voice better. Now, sometimes when He speaks to us, it may be thoughts of guidance, maybe even correction. Like, you know, you should apologize to your wife. You ought to apologize to your husband, or you ought to apologize to that person at church, or the person you work with, or something like that. We give him an opportunity to speak to us, correct us if we need correction. I mean, you know, every once in a while, all of us could use a little bit of correction. Quiet. Okay. That's right. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, how we get encouraged in our heart and our heart strengthened if we believe to see the goodness of God in our now. And then what does he say? Wait on the Lord. How are we going to have our heart strengthened? How are we going to believe to see good in our now? By waiting on him. Amen. Getting into his presence, taking some time, and allowing him to speak to us, to encourage us, and to strengthen our heart. When we are being still and waiting on the Lord, we will become more receptive to his voice. Okay? I want to conclude the series with a word of encouragement. And these are promises that we have from him. Our ability to hear from God comes from him. Proverbs 20, verse 12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Amen. So Jesus said to have eyes to see, ears to hear. They came from him. He gives us seeing eyes so that we can see what he wants us to see. Hearing ears so we can hear what he wants us to hear. Psalm 45 and 6 says, many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot we be recounted to you in order. In other words, God has great thoughts about us. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. The more we will allow God to speak to us, his words, and this is, I didn't look to see, but I think Psalm 40 was probably written by David. Sounds like David's voice. He is able to hear God speak and declare thoughts about him, and that's because God opened his ears. God gave him the ability to hear, and he has given every one of us as God's children, the ability to hear his voice. Thank God for that. And if we will be sensitive, if we will simply let him speak to us, he'll talk. He wants to speak to us, and we can hear from him more often. A lot of times, most frequently, that word will come through his word. Sometimes it'll come through others, through preaching or teaching or somebody speaking words of encouragement to us. He'll speak to us through nature and so many other ways. We should not be too quick to say, well, God never talks to me. Because he does speak to us. He speaks to us often and in many ways, and we need to recognize that he does. Right? So I want you to say it again tonight. I can hear God's voice. And I want to hear his voice more often. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. And I want to just lead you in a prayer and confession. And if you'll just pray this out with me aloud. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the ability to hear your voice. I want to hear you better and more often. Help me learn how to pay better attention to you. teach me to be still and know that you are God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand, would you? Just thank him. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your voice. Praise God. I pray this has helped you. If you weren't in the previous lessons, there are a few out there. If we run out, I can make some more for you. God bless you guys. Appreciate you coming. Next week, Alex Chadsey, Pastor Alex, the younger, is going to be starting a new series. And so come out. It'll be a blessing to you. God bless you. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.